no tax.
Hey, America, Kate Delaney with America Tonight, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between and beyond our borders. Hello, Jack in Australia, and Jane listening to us in the UK. You like that, Jack and Jane, instead of Jack and Jill? True deal. They listen all the time. Also, Christina and the gang listening to us in Sweden. We haven't talked to Christina in a while, but she sent a bunch of emails in the past, and I bet she's getting ready to call in because it's tournament time. That's right. Do you have your brackets? Uh-huh. If you're looking at me right now on camera, I've got the brackets held up. Every office has them. I don't care how serious the office is or how creative the office is or where you're working. I guarantee somebody has a bracket somewhere. They're trying to get you to fill one out. Trust me. There are lots of ways to fill out a bracket. Just make sure you pick up a few upsets along the way, or I don't know that you'll have much of a chance to win. But it's not really about the brackets here from the get-go. We talk about the water cooler buzz and the things that make us feel awful and the things that make us enraged. Isn't that right? The thing that makes us feel awful is what's happening in Japan. They're still sticking with this number of 160 being exposed to radiation and the meltdown of the reactor number one, and we know what happened with the second reactor and the explosion that has now become a nuclear nightmare in Japan that has just gone through this horrible tsunami. And they're saying that there's higher radiation that's been recorded north of Tokyo. It certainly is a race, a push to, quote, save the reactors or save whatever they can save, so that all hell doesn't break loose. But I think it's a little bit too late. The Nikkei, when you talk about markets, has just fallen. It keeps on melting. It is a huge meltdown. And so you've got the triple whammy here. The tsunami, the sadness of that, the bodies washing ashore, the body bags overwhelming the crematoriums, and the stories go on and on, not being able to find people, of course, because they were washed away in the tsunami. There's the whole human aspect to this. And then Tokyo shares the main index right now skidding almost 15%. 15%. And then you have this risk of elevated levels of radiation from the one of the reactors at the nuclear power plant after another explosion earlier in the day. Wow. You gotta feel. You're not human if you do not feel for these people. And 91 countries are reaching out and, you know, trying to do what they can. But with this radiation, really, everybody's scrambling to make sense of it and to try to be honest about how devastating it could be and what happens with the winds and what happens if the winds send radiation out on the sea and all that other sort of stuff. And in Japan, they've been at some of these evacuation places, they've been handing out iodine like you wouldn't believe. And there's, of course, massive fear of contamination. So our president had plenty to say about feeling badly for the people of Japan and some of the other elements of it, including the nuclear aspects. Here's President Obama.
The United States will continue to offer any assistance we can as Japan recovers from multiple disasters. And we will stand with the people of Japan in the difficult days ahead. Like all Americans, I continue to be heartbroken by the images of devastation in Japan. I know all of you, young and old, have been watching the full magnitude of this tragedy unfold. I want to reiterate America's support for the people of Japan, who are some of our closest friends and allies.
Yeah, what more can you say? Close friends and allies and many Americans have family in Japan. There are many Japanese Americans. So I mentioned the iodine and the handing out of iodine to these evacuation centers just as a precaution because of this nuclear emergency. The International Atomic Energy Agency, well, we don't talk about that often, do we? So they had information that they had gotten from the Japanese folks, and they said there were about 185,000 residents in areas near the plants that were affected by Friday's quake and that they'd been evacuated. So there are a lot of concerns all over the map about what's happening in Japan. To be sure, because there is always a few good stories that trickle out, there are plenty of Americans, by the way, that were in and around the areas that were affected teaching English to students. Now, that's a valuable, English is such a valuable commodity, really, to be honest, in China and in Japan. The people in China especially, they want American teachers, not even, they don't want the Brits to go and teach. They want the Americans to come and teach English, and it's really the same thing in Japan. So there had been a bunch of teachers that were over there, and many of them were found, so the families were breathing a sigh of relief because, you know, who knew? It was just chaotic, and you're seeing different, this is radio, but you're seeing different video that's pouring in from all over the place from different vantage points of somebody just seeing the tsunami all of a sudden hit, and they were in a particular area where they were safe enough that they could take some shots, and it's sad to see. So the Japanese stock futures plunging after the radiation and some of the comments that have been made in the wake of those reactors. Okay, a couple of other things. We don't want to forget about Gaddafi here and the effect on what's going on in Libya, because there is a raging debate. How involved should the United States of America be? Very involved, not too involved, or concerned and standing side by side with the French and the Brits and everybody else, but not taking the lead role on this. Coming up, we're going to talk with the Democratic strategist, David Morey. You're going to love him if you haven't heard him. In looking at just what happens in an election cycle in 2012 and the what's being lost here, the whole middle, because who's winning the middle? It's really the independents that will have a big say in 2012, and he talks about it. He talks about where the Democrats are failing, and Libya is one of the places that he points to. So in the meantime, what's going on with Gaddafi? Well, Muammar Gaddafi's artillery and mortar shells and everything that his people can get their hands on, the planes, etc., are terrorizing the rebels, if you will, including oil ports and hitting the rebels. So the rebels are saying that anti-government forces can still slurk away in darkness to take advantage of Gaddafi's, what they call, thin supply lines and stretched ground troops. Gaddafi is saying the opposite thing. I'll tell you, the real battleground is a place called Brega. And really, they've gone back and forth there. And this is a big oil center. I mean, already there's been a huge effect on Libya, certainly, because the oil is not leaving. That's the big thing. So their economy has plunged, no doubt. Hang with us. More to come here on ATN.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Here on America Tonight, we're going to get to the markets and what happened in the Nike, etc., and our own stock market. We're going to switch gears here, though, and talk about commercial property tax consulting. It's a booming business for two Dallas brothers, Jeff and Rick Kurz. They've got a group called Kurz Group is the name of their company, actually. And it's interesting how they stumbled into the business and the kind of success they've had. I love these stories. Jeff and Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Jeff, what was it that led you guys in this direction? I hear it's a really funny story. Tell us the story.
Well, we were both commercial real estate brokers here in Dallas in the early to mid-'80s, and my brother, Rick, is a couple years older. He got out of college in 1980. I got out in 1982. And like most people here in Dallas, a lot of people went into commercial real estate. And that was back when everything was booming and people were flipping land 15 miles from anywhere. And market was booming until about 1986 when – really, the first domino fell, and here in Dallas, and there's a bunch of property out on Interstate 30 that was, manipulated to the point where the domino fell, and that was in 1986. And by 1987, the RTC was being formed, and banks were going under, and both my brother and I were commercial brokers and not making any money. So we were sitting around one day at a yogurt shop wondering what we were going to do, and I mentioned to my brother that we ought to go down to the Dallas Public Library and just try to find an idea to maybe go into business and find something to, that might work. And begrudgingly, Rick said, well, you know, we'll do it. And so we went down there a couple weeks later and sat around for a couple hours flipping through Entrepreneur magazines, literally Entrepreneur Inc., I think is the name of the magazine. Mm-hmm. And we came across an ad that was in the magazine, and for $10,000, the lady out of Joliet, Illinois, would teach you the property tax consulting business. And she was standing in front of her Bentley holding a poodle and in her fur coat. And so it was something that we looked at and thought it was something that we could do, having been in the real estate business, understanding property taxes somewhat. And so that was kind of the spark that led us to where we are today.
So you take that spark, Rick, and you run with it, and you become an expert, obviously. What do you do? How do you start digging around to become an expert on putting a money value or a dollar amount on skyscrapers and shopping centers and that kind of stuff? How do you do that?
Well, and like my brother said, back in the late 80s, with what happened in the local real estate market here, There really wasn't any floor to property values, and so it was more about just trying to get clients. And what we did was we tapped the only resource we really had, which was the relationships we had as brokers with owners of commercial property, and basically just approached them to see if we could represent them before appraisal review boards to see if we could reduce their values and share in any savings. And so that's kind of really how it started. It's gotten a lot more sophisticated over the years where data became more available. And then obviously when the Internet became what it is today and information was as accessible as it is, you just learn it as you go, quite frankly. And having a general understanding of commercial real estate from our background as brokers.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeff, how tricky has it been this year, you think, 2008, when everything plunged and there was difficulties in commercial real estate, certainly? I have a couple of friends in the game, and they say it's starting to turn around. But is it still difficult in the business of appraising or certainly an interesting time, I would say, right?
Yeah, it is. It's interesting because there really, the last couple of years, there have been no sales to hang our hats on. For not only us to hang our hats on, but the appraisal district as well, and comparable sales are one of the factors that you use, a big factor as to how you value real estate. And if there aren't any sales, it makes it, you know, much more difficult. You can look at the income that the building's generating, and you can look at where other properties similar and like to the one you're working on is assessed for, but sales are very important, and hopefully we've turned the corner in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, and I think we're starting to see things loosen up and see more sales.
Rick, I'm curious about this because, you know, we're in tax time. How many commercial property owners actually protest their assessments? What's the average in what we would call a typical year, let's say?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I would say the larger, the more visible the property is, certainly, and any high rise in any major metropolitan area is going to get their property assessment looked at and in all likelihood appealed on an annual basis. I would say, what do you think, Jeff, 50% maybe?
Yeah, probably. I'd say anyone with a value over $1 million is you know, 70-80% of the property owners have a consultant to go in and fight the value on.
At least file an appeal, do a kind of a thorough review, and then make a decision as to how far you need to take it.
Sure, that makes sense. One last one, guys. First, you, Jeff, have you gone beyond your wildest dreams, or what's you went really from rags to riches, in a sense, going to that library, looking in the magazine Entrepreneur Inc., and then look what happened. Has it been just this crazy ride for you?
Well, you know, it's been a great ride. It's something that Rick and I both understand real estate, and you know, we were able to take something that we were doing for a number of years, and fortunately we were able to find another business that allowed us to use our skill sets and get go in another direction. But we've been very, very blessed. I mean, we've worked hard to get where we are, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of luck, too. So,
boy, no kidding. Rick, would you say the same thing?
Absolutely. You know, I think Jeff nailed it pretty well when he said it suits our skill set, you know, coming from a brokerage background and, you know, understanding value certainly helped us, you know, launch this, I guess, this new career that we have.
Yeah, there you go. Well, continued success, Jeff and Rick Kerr's group. You can go check them out. Thanks, guys, for coming on.
Thanks, Kate.
Thank you.
All right, so let's check that market, and let me tell you, things are not good. The Nike down almost 15%, as I mentioned, and China's down 2.14%, the market. The HSI is down almost 4%, and, of course, there's been a massive sell-off in Asia after the nuclear warnings. And it with scientists talking about the radiation threat, we know what happens to markets when you have negative news or speculation out there. Of course, it crashes those markets. And our own stock market, when I say our own stock market, well, looking at the New York Stock Exchange and what's happening there on the market fronts, not good lately, because what's happened is you're starting to see that effect. And yes, I know I always say it's like gambling, and it is. You're at the craps table whenever you're talking about stocks in the first place, so let me just preface it by saying that. But certainly, you know, when you look at futures, you look at commodities like oil, oil's down, it's like 98 and change, and gas is down, the euro's down if we looked at currencies, the yen is down, the pound is down, the franc is down. I could point to several different things, bonds, etc., and tell you about some of the bigger blue chip stocks being down as well. And all of this, these percentages, these losses, all of this, of course, is based on, a lot of it's based on what's happening in China. The Dow, by the way, was down 51. The S&P was down 8. And so on and so forth. The NASDAQ down 14, almost 15 points. Woo! Stay with us.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Fun to talk politics here on America Tonight. We love it, especially when we're looking down the road like 2012 and overall what both parties are doing, the Democrats and the Republicans. David Morey couldn't have a better guy to talk Democrats and strategy with. He is a leading progressive, certainly one of America's leading, also strategic consultants, too. Actually, he advised the Obama presidential campaign. We saw how that went. David, thanks for coming on ATM. We appreciate your time.
Kate, great to be here.
So the Democrats, what, and this is a wide open question, because we talk about this on, we look at all sides of this on this show. As you can imagine, we, the great thing about this show is we get all kinds of opinions. Like I like to say, left of left, right of right, and somewhere in between, and people who just aren't sure. So you're trying to get the, if you're trying to get the president reelected to another term, what are you playing on? What's the strategy there?
Well, I think, you know, part of the strategy is that he governs successfully. And I'm arguing the Democrats have to jump into what I'm calling the missing center, you know, which we don't see as much as we should today in the middle of all the crises swirling around us, you know, globally and in the U.S. You know, this, the center is where policy is really made. You know, I worked in government for a while. I've worked on 12 campaigns around the world. In the reality of government, when it actually works, something in the center actually holds, and they actually get something done that rises above politics. You saw that in the lame duck session. I think for the Democrats to win, they're going to have to get to that missing center.
Yeah, and so you've actually developed five ways the Democrats should lead in what you're calling the missing center. So how do they do that? What are the five ways?
Well, I mean, they have to get bolder. I think there, you know, in negotiations in business, there's an old principle, whoever goes first loses. And, you know, it's, I think it's been true for me in business. I learned it a long time ago. It isn't true in government, and it isn't true in politics. You've got to play offense. I wrote a book about this called The Underdog Advantage. You've got to go on the attack. You've got to be bold. You've got to go out there, you know, and take, more, I think, a more aggressive stance on the collective bargaining issue. Number two, you've got to use what I call truth as propaganda. You know, the truth of where this country is something the voters want to hear. I mean, I think, you know, they're grown up enough to hear it. I think politicians don't give them enough credit sometimes. And the fact of the matter is that we're in an unsustainable trajectory in foreign policy, in fiscal policy. It's unsustainable. It's like having a teenage kid who spends $1,000 a day. It's not going to end up pretty. You know, it's going to end up in crisis. And why do we have to get to a crisis before we plan for the crisis? That's my question. I think the Democrats have to use truth as propaganda. They got to tell some hard truths. Like the governor from New York and New Jersey, to take two parties, the Democrats and Republicans, are both telling the truth with relatively high approval ratings. And finally, they got to rise above politics. I mean, the voters, you know, I mean, there's so much anger out there.
Yes.
At the political system. They got to get above that.
How do you do that, though? How do you get... I hear it every single night. People are frustrated. People are sick of it. People feel like, I'll tell you what, David, people definitely feel like the middle class is slipping into the ocean and just it floating away. So how do you get the middle class back and get them to believe?
Well, I think the president has to take an even more aggressive leadership stance, you know, almost as if he was an independent candidate. You know, I used to think, and all the top pollsters tell me in 2012, you know, that there's a, especially if the economy's going down and there's as much frustration with both political parties as we see today, that there would be a gigantic opening for someone like Bloomberg to run for president. He apparently doesn't want to run. Trump does want to run. I mean, who knows? I mean, the president should be acting like that sort of independent candidate. Ross Perot, you know, who thought people were, you know, following him at his daughter's wedding, got 19% of the vote in 1992.
Mm.
You know, so there's that sort of independent missing center vote that's, by the way, going to be critical for any Democrat to win, that is sitting there looking for solutions. So you've got to get above the screaming of on the left and the right on cable TV, and you've got to find some solutions that get bigger than politics. That's what Obama did in the Tucson speech. That's, in fact, what he did when he delivered the race speech in the middle of the campaign. He rose above petty politics. And you know what? When leaders do that, they lead.
I agree. When leaders rise above the politics on no matter what their political stripe is, absolutely. In looking at, if you were handicapping this, and you've done this, you've been there before, if you were David Axelrod, if you were Robert Gibbs, if you're anyone on the ground, and you're these guys know what they're doing, they did it well the first time around, who are you canvassing? What are you trying to collect out there besides some of what you just talked about with the missing center?
I think you've got to figure out, you know, self-identified liberals are in the 20-22% range of the population, of the voting population. Self-identified conservatives are in the low 40s, 40% or higher. So right away, you're at a 2-to-1 advantage. You're going to have to get people somewhere in the center to win the election. That's one reason you should go to this missing center. The other and more important reason is that's where government, as I said, really works. I mean, let's take the budget, for example.
Mm-hmm.
88% of the United States budget is not even being discussed by the political system now. 88%, and we're headed toward a financial crisis. I mean, we're headed for our own meltdown. Financially, there's not many economists that don't think it's true. I mean, we just can't sustain this debt spending. You know, the amount of money we spend on interest is so large and getting so much larger. 40% of what we spend as a government, we're borrowing from overseas. I mean, there's an unsustainability to this fiscal policy. And, you know, that's the kind of truth that I think, you know, the president, the campaign, I think, by the way, the president's a gigantic front runner to win re-election in 2012. You know, but I think they've got to get out and they've got to listen to those independent voters. They're going to have to find solutions in the center. They're going to have to find the Republicans have their own problems in terms of their party and divisions within their party. Somewhere in that center, you know, and the speaker, to my slight surprise, represents a little bit of that center right now, as opposed to sort of the Tea Party or the fringe of the Republican side, the part of that party that's not, you know, really looking at this budget with a real sort of clear sense of what the realities are. You know, we're going to have to look at all the hard decisions that these debt commissions offered. It's interesting. I mean, this is a sign of how broken. It's frustrating. you know, a couple months ago, the Simpson-Bowles Commission, among many, recommended $4 trillion worth of cuts. They put the whole blueprint on the table, mm-hmm. and politicians are afraid to go there. I mean, that's what I mean by truth. There's some truth in that commission. Why can't they get there and tell the people the truth?
Yeah, because they're afraid to do that for some reason. Afraid of maybe being reelected because they're worried about
the founding fathers were afraid. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's a frustrating time now, I think. I mean, we need more courage. We need a little more courage in dealing with Libya. You know, I'm not saying we militarily intervene, but we've got to be helping more on the sidelines than we are. I think the administration's moving to that position. And we've got to be dealing with these hard, tough fiscal realities, as Chris Christie and Andrew Cuomo are doing, as Jerry Brown is doing. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? And these governors, you know, are almost more grown up than Washington. You know, they're getting higher, relatively higher approval ratings because the American people say, you know what, I'm cutting down on my spending. Isn't it reasonable to think that government should be cutting down on its spending and finding new ways to create revenue and create growth?
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, you mentioned the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie. What if he were to throw his name into the ring for 2012? He could be formidable.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a political consultant junkie, you know, here. So I think I don't see any – I mean, this is such an early prediction, but I could lose a lot of steak dinners with this. But I think that – I don't see how you beat Barack Obama right now unless the economy – substantially contracts, crashes, unemployment goes up even higher. Real unemployment is ridiculously high, and still the approval ratings are relatively high for the president. If those realities start getting Carter-esque, if we start to see, you know, we're going to see a tripling of gas prices perhaps by the time the election takes place from where President Obama took gas prices. They were in like the 180 range.
Right.
We're going to see a doubling of food prices, a tripling of Fed Reserve money supply. You know, there are a lot of statistics that could go different ways. I don't see that happening. I see sort of a slow, you know, sort of, you know, very disappointing economic performance before we get to some currency crash, currency problem. But if it does get bad in 2012, I'd say Chris Christie is the guy that could beat. Give President Obama a run for his money. Maybe a few years from now, Jeb Bush, when we're a little less tired of hearing the name Bush. You know, but I think Chris Christie is a very formidable candidate right now. Of course, he's not really a candidate, is he?
No, he's not a candidate, but a lot of people are pushing him in that direction. Do you think Jeb Bush would really run if after the Bush name there's some distance there?
I think he'll definitely run, but in 2016. And I think in 2012, it's just a little bit too dynastic, you know,
uh-huh.
have him run. And I just think it's a little raw. But, you know, if you listen to Jeb Bush, he's a, you know, he's like a Rockefeller Republican. You know, he's doing a joint appearance and program with the president, with President Obama. I mean,
yeah.
he's pretty hard left if you want to look at these old labels as compared to his brother. And so the American people, you know, I think would be attracted to that given the right environment. I don't think 2012. I think he's not even thinking about it. I think 2016, he's going to be in there. And the key is if these Republican candidates don't catch on, and I'm just not sure I see some of them that catch on, but I could be wrong. Could be Huckabee, although he's had a lot of problems lately. Could be Gingrich, but, you know, there are a lot of negatives there, I think, in terms of the political you know, sort of handicaps.
Sure.
If they don't catch on, there's a lot of pressure for Chris Christie to get in the race, and that makes it a bit of a race, I think. I think he'd be a tough candidate.
Yeah, I agree. And the Sarah Palin factor, that's just dead. That's just rhetoric, right?
I don't see it happening. I mean, I think – I'm not sure she'll run. And she's had a rocky couple months, and I'm not sure – you know, I think that there's a question of competence that she raises, and whenever that's been raised about President Obama, it's hurt him. I think that she'd have to get beyond that. And, you know, that's where Chris Christie looks really competent. And I think the American people, if they're questioning competence in these dire times, I don't mm-hmm. think you have a lot of luck becoming president.
Yeah, I agree with you. David Morey, always fascinating stuff. So fun to catch up with you. Thank you so much. Talking about that missing center, we'll be talking about that more here on ATN. Thanks, David.
Kate, have a good night. Cheers.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793, call 877-747-2793, or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
2012 is fast approaching. A shift is coming. Time is folding upon itself, and the world around us is accelerating. Join wisdom teacher Sriram Ka and angelic oracle Kira Ra for 2012 Higher Love on WebTalkRadio.net each week as they guide us through this journey to enlightenment and abundant living. Learn the power of living unconditionally, growing into God, consciousness, and living with self-ascension. Let go of the chaos. Tune in to 2012 Higher Love on WebTalkRadio.net.
Here's a smart way to feed your family better food at lower cost and have more fun doing it. Just go to WebTalkRadio.net and click on Hobie's Outdoor Adventures. Hobie discusses inexpensive hunting and fishing trips using fascinating and sometimes startling techniques to provide for your family. You'll even get recipes and cooking tips, as well as advice on hunting tools. So listen each week to a new episode of Hobie's Outdoor Adventures on WebTalkRadio.net for a fun and smart approach to outdoor radio.
March Madness. Nail the score. Spread the word, all of you in Georgetown, Kentucky, out at the plant, out at the Toyota plant out there. I know you were big callers for Nail the Score during the NFL. Hey, guys, we might not have another NFL season. We might not have one in 2011. But we do have another chance to nail the score through our funky, fun March Madness do the bracket thing. Same deal. You call in, I pick a game, and you tell me who you think's going to win. In fact, probably be two games. Who you think's going to win and what you think the final score is going to be. It's like playing the lottery, only for free. You don't have to plunk your dollar down for the mega millions. How great is that? Gotta love it. I loved visiting Los Angeles because I had a chance to spend some time with some super athletes, tennis players who are so unbelievably fit. Seriously. I mean, they put us all to shame. They put us to shame. And a lot of tennis players make their home in Florida. Why not? It's beautiful. The great weather. You kidding me? Tampa's a big place for that. Saddlebrook is where a lot of a Saddleback, rather, is where a lot of the pros play. Marty Fish, James Blake will go down there. A lot of pros find themselves there. And also along that Cocoa Beach area. And it's, I'll tell you what, it's an amazing place to go and visit. I have spent many an afternoon at Cocoa Beach. Many an afternoon trying to surf with my nephew. And I probably talked about it here on the air. I know in the last couple of years, I've had the chance to do a few things down there and gone to Ron John's and walked away with towels and hats. And, you know, it's an experience when you go to Ron John's. So I couldn't be more excited than to welcome a new affiliate to America Tonight, WMEL, 1300 AM. Woo! Don Harper, great guy. He gets the tasty cake thing because he grew up or spent some time outside of Philly. Yep, in the early years. So he understands butterscotch crimpets. But the Space Coast is just fabulous. And, you know, we always talk about taking the show down there. So now we have a place where we can do it live. We can do our show from WMEL. Excited to welcome them on board. So talking about tennis players, we're gonna jump back to, before we close the show, to the latest on Japan and the nukes and what's happening and reaching out and some of the other things that are making us go, why? But before we do that, let's have some fun. Justin Gimbelstob, you can catch him on ESPN. He's an analyst. Check out what he had to say about the PNB Paribas Open. We have somehow wrangled Justin Gimbelstob into an interview. We are in the corner here, at the corner of my eye. I think the women's match is getting ready to get started at the PNB Paribas Open in the desert in Palm Springs. Justin, it's always fun to catch up with you. How are you doing? What's going on in your world?
Well, I first of all, it's not that hard to wrangle me into an interview. I'm quite loquacious. But this is an incredible event. Sorry about the weather. It's only been perfect for 5 days in a row. Place is packed. Defending champion just lost. Ljubicic lost to Del Potro, but it's good to see Del Potro back, former U.S. Open champion, who's one of the few guys that has the skills to actually really challenge Federer and Nadal at the top of the game. So it's good that he's healthy and successful, and he really brings in that South American market. Also, Donald Young just had the biggest win of his career, just up to the top 10 player, beating Andy Murray. So we've had two top six players lose today. So in men's tennis, that's a big surprise. David Ferrer lost to Karlovic. He's had such a great year getting to the semifinals of the Australian Open. So this is an incredible tournament. Larry Ellison has put a lot into it. They have Hawkeye in every court this year. There's so much space for the players. They're very, very satisfied. It really brings out high-quality tennis because the conditions really enable players to play their best. So it's an amazing tournament. Everyone's here. Everyone talks about March Madness in basketball. This is the March Madness in tennis, 2,000 events during the course of the month here in Indian Wells and then Miami afterwards. So it's a neat time for American tennis, having all these great stars converge in just two places in a month.
Yeah, no kidding. Who do you think is somebody listening to the show? Who is somebody we should watch this year on the men's side that could have an incredible year? Maybe someone that sneaks up on us.
Well, Milos Raonic is the conventional pick. There's a couple of really young, talented players. We saw Berankis play today, this Lithuanian player. He lost to Verdasco, but he showed a lot of promise. There's this Gregor Dimitrov, who's like a little baby Federer. He's so smooth and hits the ball so cleanly. And then Raonic, who has really shown the results the quickest. He was 600 in the world last year. Now he's up to the mid-30s. He won San Jose, got to the finals in Memphis, almost beat Roddick in the final but lost. And he's really matured and developed. One of the biggest serves in the game. He served 150 miles an hour in San Jose. He's got a very mature for a young kid. He's got big weapons off the ground. He's got a lot of upside. He'll play Marty Fish tomorrow. Marty Fish has struggled a little bit with injuries, but he's shown that when he's healthy, he's as good as anyone in the game. So he's someone to really take a look at.
Just last one, what about the ladies? We don't want to leave them out. What about looking at the women?
Definitely not. It's so great to see Kim Clijsters playing so well, and such a neat story with her playing better after she returned to the tour after her first retirement and had a child, and she's won two Grand Slams and is playing three Grand Slams now, since she's retired. And It's fun to see her play. She's such a great athlete, so powerful, one of the best backhands in the history of the sport. Wozniacki, I think, is a woman who's very talented. She's has yet to win a slam, but she's incredibly skilled, and she's got a great demeanor. And she's got a real shot to do some really impressive things. Jelena Jankovic is the defending champion. She's always played well here. She has a home in San Diego, so she's comfortable in these conditions. Anna Ivanovic, I watched her practice today. She's on the upswing. She got the number one in the world, didn't really handle the stress and all the expectations of that. But she's a very talented young woman, and I was watching her practice today with Darren Cahill, and she looks like she's finding her form and her confidence a little bit. Also, Sharapova, she's got that champion's mentality, and she's had some injury issues, but she's continuing to get better, and she has a real belief system, and once she gets her confidence going and her health, I look for her to be a presence at the top levels of the women's game again soon.
All right, Justin Gimbelstob, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And that was at the fifth major in Palm Springs. In the next couple of shows, we'll give you some results of how some of those players are doing that he mentioned. All right, quickly, the tsunami damage, since I was just in California, didn't happen in Southern California. In the north, though, 40, 50 million is what they're saying. You think of Santa Cruz and the surf is up, baby, talking about surfing in Cocoa Beach. Same thing there in Santa Cruz, but all the boats were flung around like toys, and I bet it's going to be at least $50 million. And the destruction now continues. This is the important stuff. Third explosion at that power plant, at that nuclear power plant. I mean, what a crisis this has become. So the safety people are trying to avert a catastrophe. The government said radioactive material is leaking from reactors and it's enough to impact human health. So the risk of leaks is very high, obviously, very high. And how about this? The bus driver of that horrific crash over the weekend. Did you hear about this in New York City? It killed 15 people. It was a tour bus. They say that the driver of the bus shouldn't have been able to get behind the wheel because of a driving suspension and several traffic violations, but he was, and so sad for all those people. He was driving pretty irresponsibly that they're investigating it, and who knows where all the blame will lie on that one, but they're questioning it. There's no question about it. Speaking of questioning things, the conservative bunch, the Republicans on Capitol Hill, said, forget about it. We're coming out against a measure to keep the government running for three more weeks because we want deeper cuts. And for goodness sake, that was the recommendation of the bipartisan commission for big-time cuts. Why can they not whack away and come up with a budget? How do we come up with budgets? How do we pay our bills? And they can't seem to get it right in Washington. So frustrating, isn't it? Once again, if you have any comments on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Oh, just a minute. We are being reduced to reading emails from some jerk like we're in a choir or something. That is absolutely ridiculous to be reading emails from jerks. I resent it.